Welcome to a muzzle chat. Let's kick this one off, shall we? Hope everyone's having a beautiful weekend. Now, I don't know where you are in the world, but to the Arizonians, hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather before it gets hot. It's been a very nice winter. Beautiful transition season. I'm just thoroughly enjoying it. Hope everyone's getting out there and enjoying it as well. What a blessed time to be alive. I know we got our challenges. I mean, what generation hasn't to an extent? And not just that, like individually. But golly, there's just so much room for growth and opportunity all around. I'm digging it. I know it can, even for me, like, you gotta kind of push through the weight of things and the darkness of things to even really grasp that perspective, but we all can achieve that, and I just really hope and pray for all of you that you get to that place. We need you, and life's too freaking short. It's just crazy. Well, anyway, I don't know if this is gonna irk anyone, like, hey, move on or what have you, but there's a lot of things to connect here, and I want to play some clips and go through some information here that kind of takes us back over the last 3-4 years. Like, I find it that I often say, like, I'm too freaking human, and like, people are just like, well, what do you mean by that? It's like, well, more than other humans, it seems to be a human trait, but more than other humans, it's like, I could be on a spiritual high, or things could be going really good, and I have like momentum in a day, and then I go to bed, and like, I wake up, and it's just like another day. And that might be a poor way of explaining what I'm trying to get at here, where it's like, we just are forgetful, and I don't know. It's weird. Maybe it's just kind of proof to the level of deterioration we're having with our health and our resilience all around, in a way. But it's crazy, like, given the gravity of the pandemic and things we went through, it is weird. Like, are we in a state of amnesia? Are we just trying to pick up like the pieces, and we're just so anxious to get back to like normal that we're not even really absorbing at all or learning everything like we just went through? I mean, it's wild. So I kind of want to reminisce and reflect and get back to some of those feelings we felt, things we experienced during this pandemic, like how actual tyrannical, how insane things actually got. So just to kind of take a stroll down memory lane for us a little bit, and there's meaning behind it all, though, because in the end of this, I really want to wrap up strongly with the infrastructure behind things, but really hone in on, maybe I'm just giving the spoiler alert, essentially, but there's the few that are wanting to rule over the many, and they've been very successful with the infrastructure and the organization of not just funds, but organizations and groups and companies, and I mean, it's actually quite nice to take a step back, connect enough of the dots where it's just like, it actually doesn't become that overwhelming. There's actually, it's pretty simple in a way. And I do feel there are like simple calls to action and things we could do to ensure we don't continue down the path where these rulers just got free reign entirely over, not just over our lives, but the abilities to hurt us where they want us and have these horrific outcomes that they've been trying to have. So once again, like going down memory lane with the pandemic will really put emphasis on how evil they actually are. And golly, they don't value our lives at all. They want to just delete any opposition. We would be a very big problem here if, in fact, we grew and grew and grew. Like, they would want to shut this down. Anyway, well, let's start with this. I got a question, and let's just sit on it for a second. Let's ponder it. Where did all those dangerous variants go? Where did they go? Where did all those darn dangerous variants go? Poof. This next, and this is a pretty funny billboard picture, actually, with that very, it's got a clown on there. We'll be sure to add the links to everything we play out in this episode right here in Rumble. So check it out. It's pretty cool. I don't know if that's too bright. So this next one here, I really like this. It's kind of got a classic gentleman with his glass. Handsome fella. A new variant called Waking Up is spreading around the world. I hope you catch it. Maybe that was the final variant. In my eyes, that's exactly what took place. The final variant was people waking up, and it just ended it because we could see past it and it just died. Their control, I mean, it just died. But it's wild. Like, we got to understand that they aren't ending there, and they're rolling similar tactics into, we can see not just the pre-staging of like many different, but genuine, like they're genuinely trying to gain traction on many different, let's just say in many different arenas. And it's important that we fully acknowledge and spend the time so we can learn from our experiences in history and everything we went through to obviously not be fooled, shut these things down. And even more importantly, like, just tear things down. Like, we need this country to operate like our founding fathers had designed. And it's no secret, like, our constitutional rights are getting, and God-given rights are getting trampled on. Just to plug our last episode, and I hope to even mention this even later after, maybe it'll have a little more meaning, but you can see what they're trying to do and why they're fighting so hard to control the narratives with censorship and, golly, because at the end of the day, they genuinely do fear you. Now, love or hate Donald Trump, he is not wrong here, that this is the final battle. So let's play this quick clip, because this is no joke.
This is the final battle. They know it. I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. This is it. Either they win or we win. And if they win, we no longer have a country. This is the final.
It is so true. And there are so many other countries banking on this country. The world, essentially. And Yeah, we'll just stick with that. I was about to unpack more there, but maybe for another time. Okay, let's play this one here. Never Again. Oh my gosh, the circus. Enjoy this clip. I mean, yeah.
What is happening in America right now is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Let me say that again.
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated.
The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Is that right?
It's become a pandemic that is spreading rapidly amongst pockets of people who are...
Guys, you cannot forget all this. Now, for me, I didn't listen to the fake news. Anyway, some people were turned off. I don't know. Fake news didn't even originally come from Trump. He just said it in a way that resonated with some people, and it rubbed everyone else that didn't like that drink the Orange Man bad Kool-Aid, turned them off on it. But yeah, I was still functional, working my butt off. Had a big contract at the time, building, and I just didn't even pay attention. I remember hearing from friends, hey, you better start stocking up on stuff. I'm like, what's going on? Like, well, be sure you got toilet paper. Like, what? And, but, you know, I had a somewhat finger on the pulse through other people and all the fear porn, I guess, that these talking heads were doing, but man, what useless freaking idiots have they all been? But it was effective. Once again, we got to be able to acknowledge the importance. Like this isn't free news source. Like, no, there's no agency left in these news sources. They're all corporate, bought out, you know, just sold their souls essentially. And obviously wasn't serving us news at all. It was all propaganda pushing. Anyway.
Unvaccinated.
Quote, a so-called pandemic of the unvaccinated.
They're calling it a pandemic among the unvaccinated.
A pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Doctors call it a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
A pandemic.
What manipulative words and sayings like that there's hypocrisy, like stupidity, idiocracy to this very saying. If the vaccine, by definition, as you know, like, oh my gosh, why even say it, right? But I'm going to say it. If it was so effective, right, like, and it was going to protect you, then why are you concerned about the unvaccinated? You're protected, right? The sheer lunacy of it boggles my mind.
Surgeons fueled by the unvaccinated.
A massive pandemic of the unvaccinated.
At Hartford Healthcare.
Well, Salt Lake County officials.
The state's top health official.
They are calling this a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
County spokesman Jason Hoppin said this pandemic has now become a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Why is the president still referring to this as a pandemic of the unvaccinated?
No, I've said that constantly, and others have as well.
A pandemic of the unvaccinated.
I mean, right now we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Der Ungeimpften.
I think we've been very clear that this is
the vaccination of the unvaccinated.
Should we listen to that last bit? Oh, God.
The vaccination of the unvaccinated.
Wow. Yes, that is our president. Oh, my gosh. I need a second. Wow. We can never trust these sources, these fools, these buffoons. all of them. I mean, have they retracted, done the corrections, apologized, anything? Cleaned house, like, hey, we let everyone go. Like, we, oh, no. Who in their right mind? And some people do. I know a lot of you, obviously, the majority of the followers here, you know better. So I'm not directly speaking to you, but isn't it just wild? Now we kind of jumped because we're already trying to reminisce on COVID here a little bit, right? And we just jumped to even like the vaccine, but I just want us to take a second, like, remember how they were manipulating us with this death toll, just ramping up fear. And never in human history was there a cold or a flu someone would get, like, their death certificate, you know, would be a cold or a flu, even if they had it, but they, you know, died in a motorcycle crash or had a horrific accident or got struck by a meteor or lightning. But during the pandemic, clearly they had to ramp up the so-called death toll. So everything, every death, because once again, fact, the PCR testing was defective entirely with negative efficacy. So, and we knew that right out the gate, the majority of people that were not listening to the talking heads, because as soon as some of those samples, people would start getting those testing. I mean, the very creator. Anyway, the information was out there. You didn't even have to do the tests yourselves to see all the information that was out. It had been out on Parler at the time and so many other places, Telegram. But it's just insane. So they were fabricating it, like the number. They were manipulating the number. Like cold became COVID, the flu became COVID, because what happened to the cold and flu? It just disappeared, right? Everything got rolled into COVID. And what was interesting, if you actually looked at the world death clock, it didn't uptick. There was no additional deaths. Insurance wasn't making any claims on additional, death, whatever, claims on the policies or anything like that. Remember how, this is a tough one. They separated us. I mean, there's many things, right? How they masked us, 6 foot safe. What they did to our businesses, schools, our children, all our lives. Frick, like beaches were closed. I mean, just what it felt like to go into a grocery store and how everyone they effectively controlled info so much they turned regular citizens into, like, they gave them talking points so they could pedestal themselves and be like mask Nazis and things like that, and virtue signal. There was like a lot of just mind manipulation, because the stats and the facts and the actual science, like, I mean, it just wasn't back in everything that they were pushing, as we all know now, right? But yeah, the tough part about it was, one of the tough things was, how, like, pretty much everywhere, not just in this country, but everywhere in this country, and so many other countries had it far worse than here in America. Like, way bad. Like, we even got camps and quarantine camps and stuff, like, right here in this country. But it was really ramped up in, like, Australia and stuff. Some of the tape that was released from that was just downright horrific, and children being ripped from parents and, like, actual forced vaccinations, things of that nature. And it was just horrific. But here, how they were separating loved ones and family members all at the hospitals. I literally viewed the hospitals as the modern day ovens, like the kill camps. Because, like, just so many stories were pouring out where they wanted to pull their loved one out because, like, they walked in on their own free will, and then next thing you know, they're fighting for their life, and they're like, something's not right here, and we'd rather have a shot at this, because it looks like if they just continue with this care, they're gonna die. And they wouldn't even, they, like, held people hostage. But the actual protocols were murderous themselves. Like, remdesivir failed its Ebola trial. And that's a Fauci thing. Like, and we could play and connect a lot, but we want to move past and look at big picture here. So we just try to make a quicker trip down memory lane. But how does that end up the standard of care? They actively demonize things that really, that's where, I mean, shoot, the title of this other episode had on, where it's like, when you allow yourself to understand that the vaccine wasn't created for COVID, but COVID was created for the vaccine, then everything about this this crime against humanity makes sense. There's truth to that. So, yeah, it was horrific. My heart goes out to so many that lost ones. That's essentially, no one was dying in the street. No one. 99.9, like 98% survival rate with nothing. Like, and then a 99.99, like, if you just took some basic supplements. Once again, they pushed, stay inside, log grandma on the basement type rhetoric. And if they genuinely cared, they'd be like, look, stop smoking cigarettes, stop drinking, eat healthy, try to exercise, get out in the sun. You know, like, they actually cared. Like, that became, but none of the talking heads were doing that. So, yeah, it's just horrific. I mean, there were all sorts of different levels. And this is years, folks. Over 3 years. All these different levels of tyranny and fear porn. They were just pushing lies upon lies upon lies. Pitting everyone against one another. Family on family. Just chaos. And it was just so sad to see how effective it was. And so many that, like, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. Pride and ego is a big pain in the butt here and a huge character defect, because so many were turned into, like, a mask Nazi or tried influencing family and friends to get a jab and just so many things. And now it's like that information's out. They know better. I mean, some are so prideful, they will take, nope, I made the right decision, to their grave. And it's not an I told you so type of situation. Like, it's like, my heart goes out to those people. Like, you fell prey to war tactics and all this manipulation and fear porn and so many things. We need to see past it. And for those individuals, more than anyone, like, so these other tactics don't become effective. Once again, everyone, all of these sources were the same sources painting Orange Man bad. All of these sources are the same ones that are pushing climate hoax. All these are the same sources that are, you know, BLM, LGB, I mean, all this just very toxic ideology and rhetoric and throwing out conspiracy theorists and labels and weaponizing words, and AKA that's where I'm like, wow, this here is effectively the war machine. The machine that is actually having the impact that's like destroying the world. Super sad. But we're still here. So we're on the other side of it. It's up to us what we do with it from here. And there's great silver lining. And there's like they really overextended their hand, like evil and the rulers, and we can connect it. There's nothing conspiratorial about it. And it does boil down to a few. And it seems, and I really want to somehow overcome, whether it's in this episode or not, really overcome like the sense of overwhelm with the infrastructure and corporations. And it seems all just what impact can we have? It's like, pump the brakes. We're talking few. There are hundreds of millions of us. Like, nothing to fear here. Nothing. They should be shaking in their boots. Fact. Let's get there. And whether we even, whatever, let them live out in their estates. I'm not too concerned. Like, I know God is gonna, I'm perfectly content and comfortable putting their fate in God's hands, 100%. I just don't want their future utopia, which is at the detriment of everyone, to play out. I want it to be we the people. We would make a beautiful, prosperous, like, non-racist, just get back to enjoying this crazy ride of life with lots of opportunity. Can only imagine when it only takes one individual in a household with a thriving economy. Heck, restructure things to where potentially it only maybe need to go in 4 days, maybe 3 days a week to make ends meet. So much growth that we can actually tap into what we enjoy to do most of all, then end up in just your typical 9-to-5 where it's just sucking your soul and you're just punching a clock. Like, they want it. Just robots. Okay. Let's continue on. Sorry, that was a rant there.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
You are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of the individual. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Do you think that Dr. Fauci intentionally lied under oath to Senator Paul when he vehemently denied NIH's funding of gain-of-function research?
I think there's no doubt that NIH was funding gain-of-function research.
Is it likely that American tax dollars funded the gain-of-function research that created this virus?
I think it did, not only from NIH, but from the State Department, USAID, and from DOD.
So in your expert opinion, was the Wuhan Institute conducting gain-of-function research on coronaviruses? Thank you.
Dr. Redfield.
Absolutely.
Did you agree, in your opinion, with Dr. Anderson's assessment at the time that this virus did look engineered?
It was very disconcerting to me. It looked like this virus was engineered.
In one sentence, can you provide a definition of gain-of-function research?
I think it's to take a pathogen and try to increase one of two things or both, to increase its transmissibility or its pathogenicity.
Has gain-of-function stopped a pandemic, in your opinion?
No, on the contrary, I think it probably caused the greatest pandemic our world has seen.
Wow. Heavy stuff. Oh my gosh. Let's ask Justin Trudeau.
You don't want to get vaccinated. That's your choice. But don't think you can get on a plane or a train besides vaccinated people and put them at risk.
Okay. Oh my gosh. What a buffoon. And no. He didn't. He went way beyond choice. He got so tyrannical up there. My heart goes out to our brothers and sisters up there in Canada. Holy smoke. All right, this one's just a circus. This is that safe and effective clip by...
We have two vaccines that are really quite effective. The mRNA vaccine, highly effective, extraordinarily efficacious.
You remember this?
94 to 95% for mild to moderate disease and virtually 100% efficacious.
Wow.
Because the real world effectiveness is even more impressive.
Effective
than the
in causing
of the
harm? Then it goes on, all the articles, 100%, 89%, just drop it down. Blows my mind. We're just sitting back. We, all of us, were attacked on these fronts. From so many different angles. We're not even doing it justice. There's so much here. And these people are walking free? Why are we allowing that? It's legit. This was a pretty cool banner. Someone made at this point. I would feel safer if coronavirus held a press conference. Press conference telling us how it's going to save us from the government. So the coronavirus that's threatening people is more trusted than the government, essentially. Wow. Just a clip here. I don't even think there's sound on this one. Just the clowns. Don't ever forget. This was the biggest scam ever perpetuated. Only the people. This is from the White House. You know what? I apologize. It's a... let me open this up bigger. Department of Justice. Excuse me. Department of Justice. Where the gentleman gets to the stage, the side of the stage, and like, oh, and hand him a mask so he can put it on to walk out on stage, get the microphone, and take it off. Clearly, biggest scam ever. This picture. Oh my gosh, folks. You need to... Maybe I'll put a note next to this one. Because this is powerful. Now, I want every man to see this. Every man in the world. Let's blow up a muzzle chat. So we could get everyone to see this image. Every man alive. So it looks like this is a storm on the beach, maybe Normandy, black and white shot. Bunch of real men getting off the boats. And this is men in 1944 facing almost certain death. And there's a picture down below of, can we even say, call him a man? in a business suit, hiding behind an office chair with a face diaper on his face, like hiding, cowering in fear. Men in 2020 facing a 99.9% survival rate. Dang. This is saying they must all be held accountable. Funded COVID, locked you up, banned proven and safe and effective treatment, coercively injected you with experimental mRNA lethal toxins, used known faulty test, vastly inflating numbers. Hundreds of thousands died and millions of lives are ruined unnecessarily. Well, arguably millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. Yeah. Here's a crazy stat. It's facts. The GOP... so politicized COVID, as in Elon's post here, COVID deaths were 43% higher in Republican counties than Democrats' counties. A lot of unnecessary deaths. Study: counties with more Republicans had higher death rates after COVID vaccine became available. Wow. Yeah, that's not a coinkydink, folks. It's intentional. That actually says a lot, because now targeting something that was supposed to be good, but with negative effects, I mean, it just proves the intent of genocide for everyone. Just tried ramping it up to address even their political opponents more, or the side that isn't supporting the globalists. But even then, there's a lot of corruption on the Republican side. Didn't we, was that in here? I think it's further down the line. We'll continue. I mean, I actually didn't vet this graph, so we're not going to dive into that. But touching on all the deaths, it is wild to think about. Because it is touching on, like, if a terrorist killed as many in a week, if a 9/11 every couple of weeks is not deadly enough, if a terrorist killed as many in a week, the USA would be on war footing, triple stat. And you would urge the authorities to do some. There's truth to that. So without the graph, without the stats, that's where it's like, that kind of captures the essence of, like, how important it is to go down memory lane. Like, why? Like, 9/11, such a big deal. And we were able to unite and assemble, clearly inside job. Golly, it's sad. But that's nothing compared to what just took place. But what are we doing about it? See the importance here? All right, let's play this little clip from Joe Rogan himself.
The wildest thing that's happened, we kind of touched on it briefly, is how quickly everybody forgot about Ukraine. It just went out of the news.
Yeah.
It's like the moment Ukraine came along, that's when everybody stopped talking about COVID. COVID kind of just vanished because, like, okay, now we have a new thing to focus on and virtue signal over.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah.
It just thought the pandemic just ended.
Went away. We're all good.
Even with, like, crazy liberals that are still masking, they kind of eventually took their masks off and said, I think we need to just, Ukraine is the focus now. The wildest
thing. There's so many things right there that prove, like, with the social conditioning, the manipulating, the pedestaling, that look how effective the machine is, and we have become to the machine, just regurgitating and, okay, pandemic, all this, okay, Ukraine, and then that dies off, and then Israel, and it's literally beyond squirrel tactics. It's actually like showing us, in the sense, once again, like Harari in the World Economic Forum stating they currently have the technology to control the masses. It's playing out. But yeah, poof. Over. All right, this one says, I tried to follow the science, but it was simply not there. I then followed the money. That's where I found the science. Now that's leading us down the right path. Okay, this is what I was looking at earlier in regards to, like, okay, Democrats and whatever. Like, this is just, I love it. America with the eagle, and it's USA. Less Democrats, less Republicans, more Constitution. That's capturing, like, a narrative, like, we need to get behind. Because everything's a construct, left, right, and evil. And these rulers are effectively pitting us against each other to, once again, be distracted and not effectively. And we're losing our freaking rights. Okay. We've played, but Robert Kennedy Jr.
The lockdowns really destroyed that whole illusion of globalization. But, you know, it was a money-making enterprise for Gates, and the vaccines are the same thing. He gives the money, gets tax deductions for giving the money to the WHO. Mm-hmm. He gains control of the WHO. The WHO pays for finances, the health ministries in virtually every country in Latin, in Africa.
Mm.
So he can then say, as a condition of getting that money, this is what WHO does. As a condition to get that money, you have to show that you vaccinated a certain percentage of your population.
He's hard to listen to. I'm sorry. I mean, it's like, I don't know what it is. When he talks, it's like my eyes want to water or something. But that's not the only grip I got with the man. There's others. Not perfect, but I love the truth. And, you know, Bombs, he has said more so on the whole COVID scheme, but than anything else in particular. But he essentially, and there's plethora of clips we could play that simply connect the dots between, like, the COVID vaccines and the WHO and Bill Gates. And it's beyond criminal, folks. Like, it's crimes against humanity. Yeah, we could continue to play that out. But right here. Now, this was labeled teaser of an upcoming documentary about the WHO. Unlawful and fraudulent use of health to become the new one world government. In cahoots with the UN. This is no joke, folks. So, yeah, this is kind of bringing it all full circle. And now we're seeing the wizard behind the curtain. We're not to fear the wizard. In fact, when you get behind the curtain, the wizard's not that impressive. This one's a bit lengthy, but what speed do we want it?
The World Health Organization is the institution granted exclusive power to guide and protect the health and wellness of humanity.
The WHO is sustained by private donations, the bulk of which are made by pharmaceutical and biotech corporations who have a vested financial interest in the organization's support. The WHO's repeated issuing of inaccurate and bad advice is not...
You connect all those companies and everything. BlackRock, Vanguard, Rothschilds.
Merely the result of incompetence, but rather the direct result of the Communist Party of China deliberately buying out WHO's leadership.
On the nomination of the executive board, appoints Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus as Director General of the World Health Organization.
Tedros Ghebreyesus is the World Health Organization's first Director General that isn't a medical doctor. The appointment to the organization's highest position was controversial, given that in his previous role as Ethiopian's health minister, Tedros was accused of covering up three major health epidemics.
Tedros is no stranger to controversy. As a former minister of health in Ethiopia, he has been accused of an alleged cover-up of three possible cholera epidemics.
Prior to his appointment, Tedros was a high-ranking member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, a brutal and corrupt political group responsible for crimes against humanity, including bombings, kidnappings, tortures, and killings. How does a man with such a controversial past score the top position at the world's most influential health organization?
I have known Bill and Melinda for many, many years now.
While serving as Ethiopia's health minister, Tedros became intimately intertwined with both the Gates Foundation and the Clinton Foundation. With the backing of the two most powerful foundations on Earth and the full support of the Communist Party of China, Tedros was a shoo-in.
We will have many body bags in front of us if we don't behave.
If one analyzes how the WHO is funded, one sees that organizations like the Gates Foundation are significant supporters. And so he who pays the piper calls the tune. I think that's a good starting point in looking at these things.
The pandemic was used as a false pretext by the WHO to drive vaccinations of all peoples in the world.
Without our consent, in May 2024, the World Health Organization, via member state delegates, will exercise a power grab over our health, freedom, and sovereignty.
This is 3 months from now at the next World Health Assembly by WHO's 194 member states. This process takes place behind closed doors.
Yep.
And at a tremendous speed. It is not reported nor discussed in our newspapers, in our national parliaments, in universities, nor in society.
There's going to be a very important vote, and Uganda, being a member of the World Health Organization, is supposed to be informed prior before this vote. But as far as I know, none of this has been brought to the attention of Parliament yet, and yet we have less than a month to go into this vote.
Both of these documents, what they do is they create a new supranational body that gives the WHO legally binding global authority over public health emergencies of international concern.
This is actually worse than what happened in COVID, because they don't even have a standard that says they have to isolate a pathogen. They don't have to isolate anything. What they have to do is simply say, we think that there is a reason to declare an emergency. And as such, we therefore have the ability to suspend travel, to actually penalize member states. There's a very big clause inside of the treaty that actually has penalties on member states for non-compliance.
All the countries have been...
Wait. So hold on, I'm interrupting you, but I just want to... The WHO will override, let's say, my country's decision on how to handle the next pandemic.
Right, exactly. He can just declare it with no standards, and then countries around the world will have to obey.
The most worrying for me is actually Article 12, which says that in the event of a potential...
More from that lady in a bit.
So this doesn't just relate to pandemics. This is any health emergency... And that could be anything that the Director General shall determine on the basis of information received, and that can be secretive information. It doesn't have to be declared. The Director General is one individual who there's a lot of concern about his history and experience, but that he should have this power, and then each country gets 48 hours
to respond or explain or face the consequences, including sanctions.
Do African nations have that type of power, or, you know, New Zealand or somewhere like that? Can they stand up against this? I mean, do you think it's going to have an equal sort of footing with all nations, or will there be a difference in how nations are treated by the WHO?
So that's, of course, a really good question. If you're asking a country that doesn't have the resources to come back to you within 48 hours and then they don't, not only do you malign them to the emergency committee, but you say, you know what, maybe we should look at sanctions against this country. And maybe this country has got resources like oil and diamonds. Wouldn't that just be very convenient?
WHO will be authorized to issue recommendations with legally binding effects.
You know, when you take out the words not binding as an amendment, it then becomes binding.
I'm so sorry. This is a squirrel moment. Just because that gal had, I don't know, she reminded me of a nurse, and I jumped back to the whole hospitals, and my heart just went out. And I mentioned how they used the failed Ebola for the COVID treatment, but just in case we have someone that doesn't know about that, look into it. More than 54% of all the patients in the Ebola trial died. That's so why that's in fact what led to deaths during this whole COVID. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up so people could make that connection and do that research.
These are binding treaties. If we do nothing, these treaties are binding. They're legally binding across all the nations.
This is legislation. This is legislation directed directly affecting every human being. We are talking about
compulsory vaccination,
all of us,
closures of borders and businesses, and worst of all, detention of anyone not complying with the latest vaccine mandate and forced medical procedures.
This will come under the title and concept of One Health. So whether to fight a human influenza with a new subtype, or to reduce rising level of CO2, or to respond to the loss of biodiversity, or to fight climate change, all of that can give rise to the next pandemic.
They will be able to impose a climate lockdown. Mm. That's the next step. That's what we're talking about.
We see all these kind of authoritarian measures being adopted in the name.
This is crazy. He's bringing up a good point, and he's showing, like, we're seeing this all over America. CCTV, like, these cameras, intersections, and then, like, how they're even put in 5G, like, what? Why are they putting 5G devices in like light posts? And the light posts have antennas and all that. It's not to our benefit, guys. Our phones and the abilities on, like, our connectivity hasn't been astonishingly getting better. If anything, it's gotten worse than, like, 5-10 freaking years ago. It was fine. The devices themselves got a bit faster, but we don't need any more connectability. It's they're setting up for other things, and there's other negative effects being directly connected to it as well,
of saving the planet.
It's global governance. It's
the tyranny, organized tyranny under velvet and a golden
global
cage
governance.
It's a form of global governance, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yes,
it is a centralized global government, but we didn't know how they were going to do it, and they're using health in all policies to create this global governance.
Towards a one world government seeking to erode the sovereignty of independent nations.
There would be amendments to implement an international global health certification system, enabling nations to enforce travel restrictions using tools such as vaccine certificates, passenger locator forms, and traveler health declarations, all tied potentially to a personal QR code.
And then a mass surveillance of compliance via digital certificates. And in that way, they will check whether we're all doing what we're told.
They could lead to draconian measures undermining our national interests if accepted.
Which means what?
You can't chalk that up. Like, no, they're not. Like, they tried going full tyrannical during the pandemic. So they are gearing up for these other things. That's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't just end. Okay, so enough people, like, that variant became people waking up, right? And it kind of interrupted their plan. But you could see they wanted full rights and control over your body autonomy, vaccine passports, just everything. So carbon tax, if they got to go the climate way, that's why it's all hoax.
When there is a national health security threat, you can take over the country with the army. So you imagine this at the global level?
Right.
So if they get the global commands, and there
so
is
it's martial law.
It's martial law.
And the title of this session, Are We Ready for a New World Order?
We have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
When you really take all of this together, there is no other way for me to actually say this. It will be a complete impoverishment and enslavement of all the people.
People have to understand it's all about control. So being aware of the globalist endgame in all of this, namely
the implementation of a global governing system to control us. It seems to me that the powers that be will attempt to launch major crises, plural, on several fronts.
Wow, that's a cool picture. Maybe I should even just screenshot that real quick. Let's do it. Thanks for bearing with me. Might end up the title episode right there. Or the... Be sure to wash your hands and all will be well. COVID-19, the small wave. Recession, the bigger wave. Climate change, the bigger wave. Biodiversity collapse. Freaking tsunami.
Facilitate this push into their new world order.
Thousands are rallying against the WHO. This gentleman speaking very strong words against the WHO and the elites.
Therefore, withdraw from WHO.
My view is, get out of the WHO.
Conclusion, defenders of freedom on both sides of the Atlantic need to stop these amendments from coming into pass. And call on all political parties and South Africans to reject the WHO's power grab under the guise of pandemic preparedness.
Can I just get a quick vote from everybody here right now? Who thinks we need to defund and exit from the WHO? That's a full house. The people have voted. Thank you very much.
Preserve national security. Choose freedom. Heck yeah. Well done. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now this kind of brings light and makes sense. Imagine a government that's operated, let's add, controlled so poorly. They had to import an entire nation of new voters because they lost the citizens' vote. Hmm. Making sense of other things happening around us in the world. If bad comes to worst, I mean, they enough of us. I mean, we played this before.
You have a small elite, Ferrari, that pushes things in its own interests, even if it doesn't benefit the vast majority of the population. This has happened so many times previously in history, and it's probably going to happen again. One of the biggest dangers to the planet today is this technological utopia, because probably for the elite it will work. If bad comes to worst, and when the flood comes,
not if we wake up,
the scientists will build a Noah's Ark for the elite, leaving the rest to drown. The rest of the people and then the rest of the ecosystem.
Do you want to drown? I don't want you to drown. I don't want to drown.
Construct this technological Noah's Ark.
It's kind of a metaphor.
What much of the elite
right?
is
it's not just
of.
A flood.
You have
now this is labeled advisor to Klaus Schwab. He's his freaking puppet. Yeah. Let's do something about that. All right, back to this lady. Dr. Merrill Nass. Yeah, let's play this.
The idea is to create a whole new set of laws and ignore the existing human rights laws and other laws
really?
Under the pretext of pandemic preparedness and the biosecurity agenda. The WHO is developing through all its nations, but with the WHO directorate and the United States in charge, a pandemic treaty and amendments to the existing international health regulations that will remove the human rights protections currently embedded in the IHRs, will enforce surveillance, censorship, get rid of freedom of speech, require governments to censor and only push a single narrative. Also, we will be subject, if they can make this work, to vaccines developed in 100 days, which the organization CEPI is planning to do. And one of the people who founded CEPI was Jeremy Farrar, who is now the chief scientist at the WHO, to bring this forward. Other things that the amendments do is to bind the states so they are no longer recommendations, but enforceable edicts. Provide a liability shield. Get rid of intellectual property rights, move supplies from one country to another, enforce digital passports, and the Director General of WHO can demand that a pandemic or a potential pandemic exists. He can just declare it with no standards, and then countries around the world will have to obey. Also, the WHO will tell you what drugs you can and can't use in your nation once a pandemic is declared. Obviously, the budget will increase. One Health is another part of this. One Health is a concept that was created to enable the WHO, with these documents, to take over jurisdiction of everything in the world by saying that climate change, animals, plants, water systems, ecosystems are all central to health. Also embedded in this concept is a peculiar notion that humans are no longer of greater value than animals.
Okay, you're hearing it for yourself. This is no joke. Now, who could be behind all this? Who could be funding this? Who could back it? Let this young gal, I hope she says her age here in the beginning. She does a fantastic job about it. She understands it seemingly better than most adults. And she's actually doing something about it, and she's speaking out on it. Like, bravo. This is beautiful.
Yes. Allow me to explain how our private banks and government work today. First, the Canadian government borrows money from the private banks. They then lend the debt-based money to Canada with compounded interest. The government then continues to increase taxation of Canadians year after year in order to pay back the interest on the exponentially growing national debt. What results is inflation, less real money for Canadians to spend into our economy, and the real money being used to pad the pockets of the banks. Also, the government gave the banks the ability to loan out money that doesn't exist in the form of loans. When a bank gives you a mortgage, which literally means a death pledge or a loan, they don't actually give you money. They click a key on a computer and generate the fake money out of thin air. They don't actually have it in their bank vaults.
I love her.
Presently, the banks only have $4 billion on reserve.
Wow.
But they have loaned out over $1.5 trillion.
That's a problem.
To quote Graham Towers, each and every time a bank makes a loan, a new bank credit is created. New deposits, brand new money. Broadly speaking, all new money comes out of a bank in the form of loans. As loans are debt, then under the present system, all money is debt. What I find interesting is even Jesus in Matthew 21 drove out the money changers in the temple because they were manipulating the currency to steal money from the people. The private banks are just like the money changers in Matthew 21. They are defrauding and robbing the people of Canada, thus their freedom, and they need to be stopped.
Yes.
How should the banking system work? In an infamous interview, Mr. McGeer asked Mr. Towers, "Can you tell me why a government with power to create money should give that power away to a private monopoly and then borrow that which Parliament can create itself back at interest to the point of national bankruptcy?" Mr. Towers replied, "If Parliament wants to change the form of operating the banking system, then certainly that is within the powers of Parliament." In other words, if the Canadian government needs money, they can borrow it directly from the Bank of Canada. The people would then pay fair taxes to repay the Bank of Canada. This tax money would in turn get injected back into our economic infrastructure.
Brilliant.
And the debt would be wiped out. Canadians would again prosper with real money as a foundation of our economic structure and not debt money. Regarding the debt money owed to the private banks, such as the Royal Bank, we would simply have the Bank of Canada print the money owing, hand it over to the private banks, and then clear the debt with the Bank of Canada. And yes, we have the power and lawful right to do so. In conclusion, it has become painfully obvious, even for me, a 12-year-old Canadian,
12 years
that
old,
we are being defrauded and robbed by the banking system and a complicit government. What will we do to stop this crime? What will we do to ensure that the next generation will live free and clear of the debt-based economy that enslaves them to the banks? Margaret Mead said the following, and I hope that all of you remember this.
Is that what we've resorted to? 12-year-olds coming to save the day, tell adults how to solve their issues. We gotta champion this narrative. Until, like, I need to get in front of a group and try to, I'm going to trip up it, even right now on my explanation. I'd trip up way more. It's not going to be as pretty and well put together as her, but I got to challenge myself to take the action she even has. And we all need to do that. We're just going to leave it to our 12-year-olds to do it. She's speaking truth. This is the backbone. This is the root of the issue that has stood up and financially stood up evil in this world that is kicking off all this WEF, WHO, UN, all the corruption. That is what, and these individuals, we could go into, and we have. And we will even more. Jackal Island and what took place there with the Rothschilds and starting the whole Federal Reserve. It's really not that complex. You could see the infrastructure behind everything, and it boils down to very few individuals. There's a lot of corrupt along the way. Though we can get to them. We can get to that. But we gotta change the infrastructure. I applaud this young, amazing, do I say woman? Little girl. Amazing.
Never doubt that a small group of people can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Thank you.
Wow. What was that last bit? Just one more time.
Never doubt that a small group of people can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Thank you.
Never doubt that a small group can change the world. It has?
What ever it? Has. Thank you.
It's the only thing that ever has. Wow, I need that on a banner. Let's rock that. Let's run with that. Once again, all these clips are going to be included. Folks, I just want to take a second and champion you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for sticking this through. I hope it's been enjoyable. I hope this excites you like it does me. There's a lot we can do, and it doesn't need to be overwhelming. It's an exciting time. Please comment. Let me know how I can do better. Am I too redundant? Am I too, the sky is falling? Like I want, what is it? I want to have a maximum impact on waking people up, giving calls to action towards we can take like steps. I don't know. Help us organize our tools to where we effectively could take steps in action to ensure what this little girl was talking about. Getting organized and changing things. Let's do just that. Let's go. In church today, I took a couple pictures of the screen. And this would help us along our way. The more you know God, the more freedom and victory you will walk in. You will walk in victory over fear. You will walk in victory over insecurity. You will walk in victory over worry. You will walk in victory because you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. it will cause you to prosper and to have good success. There's this other one. We should ask God what he wants us to do with our life. We should ask every day, what do you want me to do with my day? We can lose the future by not living well each day. Wow. Isn't that the truth? And in closing, let's just listen to the daily scripture right here, the YouVersion Bible app. But guys, thank you. Bless you. Help refine Unmuzzled Chat and refine me. Whatever I got to do, do I need to be more charismatic? More fluctuations in my voice, more personable, different. I mean, what? Give me pointers. I'm not going to sit here and act as though I know it all, because I don't. And I'm just diving in, and I want to have maximum impact as quick as can, so we can just help turn the ship around as quickly as possible and bring people into the light. Because all along the way, like, man, we could bring more people to peace. We could bring more people to fulfilling the purpose being here while we're here, even if we never right this ship. That's a point. I guess my calling in a way too. Just let me know. I am here to serve you.
1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." I'm Ashley Elliott. I'm an author and a counselor, but my most important role is as a child of God. Now, if you've accepted Christ into your life, then you too are a child of God. And God himself lives inside of you. The one who is in you is greater, that's God, than the one who is in the world. And who is in the world? The enemy. Well, wait a minute. We live in the world. So we live in the world with the enemy. That's complex. But God reminds us that he lives inside of us, and he is greater than anything that we'll ever face in this world, whether temptation or frustration or really amazing days. When I feel stressed out, I tend to get overwhelmed by my inadequacy to get everything done. And as I remember that I am a child of God, and that's the most important role, and remember that God in me is greater than anything that I'll face, I can sit back and breathe a little easier. God is greater than any temptation that you'll ever face. God is greater than loneliness, depression, and rage. God is greater than any good thing or bad thing that we'll ever face. And so let's commit this verse to our hearts. I challenge you to memorize it, to burn it on your heart, so that when you face a negative space, that you can call on God and remember that greater is he who is in you than who is in the world.
Wow. I pray that upon all our listeners here. And if you don't know that to be true, it's okay. I, for the longest time, too long, closed that door and didn't want to allow God in due to my own character defects, to my own detriment. But I am happy to report that I've opened that door. I think I've hopefully permanently blew it off as hinges, so there's nothing impeding. Now I'll get lost with, yeah, we're in this sinful place, and I fall short all the time. But it's the single greatest blessing I've experienced in this walk, and it's only getting better. Even with things getting crazy, crazier and crazier. How is that? I don't know. Some might say proof. But it's not that I'm here to prove anything, because it's like we all have our unique path to walk here, and that's beautifully yours to walk. And you're free to choose what you want to choose. I'm just so grateful that I finally got out of my own way. And I hope you all find that someday too. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Look forward to chatting soon. Take care.